Welcome to the Compass Church podcast and thanks for tuning in. We hope that you enjoy the message that you're about to hear.
My family line from me onwards. We don't have to allow the negatives of the past to influence the future unless we allow it to do so. But I'm blessed to be able to say I've got a godly father that has certainly raised me and challenged me. And as you, some of you would know, we didn't always see eye to eye throughout my teenage years, but that was dad, not me. No, that was me, not dad, is what I was meant to say. But it was me, not dad. And he has a phenomenal story, which we might get him back to preach about again sometime. But we're very blessed today. He's a man of the word. He's a man of integrity. What you see on stage is what you'll get off. And he's a great husband. He's a great father of six kids, as I said, and 14 grandkids now, I think it is, something like that. And it's just a great privilege and blessing for us to have him today. So can we please put our hands together for my dad, Pastor Roy?
Thank you, son. And I'm not going to call you the favourite because your other brothers called you the favourite, so I don't have to say anything. Well, it is a privilege, you know, to be here. And isn't it lovely to have father and son, you know? Isn't it good to have that generational thing, you know? Today in our, you know, fractured society, we don't see this very, very much, but that really is what God wants us to be, you know? And so it doesn't matter where we come from. I came out from England as a little kid, about 12, in an orphanage down where the Southland place is now. That was the orphanage there, and this is where I came to Australia, and now by the grace of God, you know, I've got a beautiful family, and he's the second next generation, and the children are going on for God. The grandchildren are elders in a church and serving God, and I'm so thankful to Jesus, you know. Now, if I hadn't have made that step forward, I remember I went to this little Pentecostal church, and the pastor said to me, he said, "What do you want from God?" And I remember saying to him, "Pastor, I want everything. I want everything." And he said, "Okay, you better get baptized." And so my wife and I, he said to her, to Mum, he said, what do you want? And I think she said, "Well, I wonder what he wants." And so we were both baptized together in water, and then we entered into the ministry, and God gave us our beautiful family. So just one step of obedience, you just never know where it's going to lead. You just never know. Because with God, all things are possible, you know. And that's why not is very, very true, you know. As a Christian, God's favour is upon you, see. You are under the favour of God. Whatever you do, there's the favour of God because of what Jesus Christ has done. But the thought the Lord had dropped onto my heart early this morning was moving forward. And looking at Joshua 14:12 there, we have a young man who gave a good report. And years later, he was promised something, see, and it never came about. And sometimes we have a word from God and it doesn't come about. And he says, "Now therefore give me this mountain of which the Lord spoke in that day, for you heard in that day how various things were happening there." Now the nation of Israel speaks to us about moving forward. And when the nation of Israel came out of Egypt, there was a pillar of fire and there was a cloud. And when all that stuff moved, the people knew they had to move. You know, but we can move by choice or we can move by others' choice. But we need to move toward a destination. And there was a place called Kadesh Barnea where the people said, you know, "We can't do it. We can't do it. It's too big. It's too hard, you know." And there were 12 spies that went into that land to spy the place out. And when they came back to give their report, two said, "Why not? Let's go in. Why not? We can go forward." But when just before Joshua led the people into the land, he spoke to him some advice which I believe each one of us needs to take notice of today, because it's advice to how to be prosperous, it's advice to be how to be successful, and it's advice on how to move forward. And it's got nothing to do with me. This is what God spoke to the leadership of that day. First of all, he said, be strong and not be weak. In other words, stand up straight and speak out what you believe, and of good courage. In fact, when other people are coming against you and you know the thing's not right, well, stand up to it. For to this people you shall divide as an inheritance the land which I swore to their fathers to give them. God has got a plan and a purpose for your life, and you can be strong and you can be courageous. And you might not be able to open that door, but God can open that door for you. Only be strong and very courageous, that you may observe to do according to all the law which Moses, my servant, commanded you. Do not turn from it to the right hand or to the left, that you may prosper wherever you go. As we study God's word ourselves, and as we listen to it, and as we are part of discipleship training, alpha courses, we're actually taking in God's word into ourselves. And as we're thinking about those things, we are actually paving our way for successful living. That God has got his ways are perfect, and God's ways are always good, okay? God's ways are always good. And if we do the things that we know God wants us to do, God will cause us to prosper in most unexpected ways. I'm going to tell you in a few moments what that means. This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth. In other words, when we're speaking, we can speak a lot of nonsense, or we can actually repeat what God said in his word. And as we speak what God has spoken to us, and you shall meditate in it day and night. And so not only are we, God wants us to speak forth, God is good all the time. God is good. You know, commit your way unto the Lord and he shall direct your path. You're speaking God's word out now and you're hearing it, and faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. But not only that, but you shall meditate upon it. You shall think about it. And so there is tremendous power. God's word is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can literally transform your mind and transform your understanding, and you'll be able to see things that, and you'll see possibilities that you'd never see normally, because God's word, you're thinking about it, you're meditating upon it, you're speaking out words of faith, you see, and that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it, for then you will make your way prosperous. So if I ask you to say, you know, hands up those that want to be prosperous, I guess everybody put their hand up, you know. And so here's some keys here that God's word's not about being religious. It's about locking into God's plans and purposes, and you will have good success, it says. Have not I commanded you, be strong, not wimpy, and of good courage. Do not be afraid, nor be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. And Jesus said, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. And so if you have a problem with fear, that's not God's will for you to be fearful, because you are under the favor of God. God's blessing is upon you. God's blessing is directed towards you. And all the things that you do as you're walking in fellowship with God, God's blessing will be upon you, and it will turn out to be good. It will turn out to be right. It may not turn out at the start right, because there's some adjustments, as we talked about, I think, to the guys, that you have a dream, and sometimes Joseph, it led him into a time of great distress. And then there was a time of development, and then he became PM of Egypt and managed a world relief program. That's exactly what his dream was, and he didn't realize what it was, but there was a process there. But in the end, if we follow God, God will bring things to pass, and all things will work out together for good to those that love God. Moving forward, be strong, good courage, speak and think the word. Now, I want us to look at this for just a few moments, because all of us here this morning are actually involved in a number of these mountains. And so society is made up of mountains. And those mountains are mind molders that influence societies and nations. There's a spiritual force that inclines people to think the same way. The propaganda people know all about that. The politicians' spin know all about that, okay? And those people, okay, they want to direct the opinion of people away from the things of God. Now, he who occupies these mountains controls the harvest. And many of us are very, very concerned. Now, there is one mountain, I guess you could call the rural mountain. That's a big mountain, and then there are there's the government mountain. There's the family mountain, and that's our lot there. When I see, there's my wife there with the two grandchildren cuddled up around her there. Okay, and the family mountain is not only just our lot there, but there are other lot as well, and there are the girls, the daughter-in-laws, the son-in-laws, wives and families and so on. And there are the people that live in our street. And so therefore on our mountain there are a lot of people. And I have another five siblings in Ireland. And I was able to make a brief visit to them when the Lord laid on my heart to go and preach in England for a month. And then right out of the blue, a guy rang me up a few weeks ago and he said, "Roy," he said, "you're eligible for a free trip to Ireland." I said, "How come?" He said, "Well, the British Migrant Trust had been established to send children that came out here as child migrants back to England to make contact again with their family of origin." I said, "Really?" So I'm going back to Ireland in March and I'll be having a fully paid trip. Accommodation is fully paid, and because I've got a kidney condition, I'm taking a carer with me, and my wife didn't want to go, so my second daughter, she's going to come as carer for her father, and she's going to go have a trip. Isn't that incredible, eh? Now, I never asked for that. But you see, I believe this, that on that family mountain, okay, God has given me a certain amount of blessing, and he's saying, "Really now, Roy, I've blessed you. Now I want to take what you have, and I want you to give it back to those people, okay, because you may not ever get there again, but I'm going to help you climb that family mountain in Ireland, and I want you to share the love of Jesus Christ with those people." See, that's how I see it, you see, because that's a mountain. Glory to God. And all of those people, you know, we work so hard at this unity within the family on the family mountain. You know, our children's birthdays and that are very, very important. Then there's our church mountain, and you're on that church mountain. Finance, business, many of you are involved in that. The arts, law, education, the media, and elderly care, medical, all of those things are mountains that make up our society, and all of us are part of that. The fact is, all of us are part of the church mountain, and we have an ability, and we have gifts and abilities that we can devote ourselves to seeing the church mountain greatly influenced. And other people, as I say, have got families, and so there is another mountain that we have influence in. And then you have your work situation. And you can see your work situation as just simply something to go and get money and come home, or you can see it as somewhere God has placed you, that your influence in that whole environment can actually bring the kingdom of God into that environment and change that environment just simply because you're there. And you know what? That whether you like it or not, you're going to influence people one way or another. You see, the family mountain is where generational blessings or curses are passed on to our children. And I tell them when they're all together, I say, "Listen, you know, all of you are under the blessing of God. and they prospered and done very well, many of them. And you know, I said, generational blessings. There's a blessing that's come down through me, and that's come onto you, and it's now going on to our grandchildren, okay? And it will flow down. Why? Because God has chosen, blessed, praise his holy name, to bless us, you see? And it goes on for generations to generations. So when you come to Christ, not only does it affect you, but the possibility is that future generations are going to be impacted, because as you walk with God, God will give you the right person, and then their family and all of those things, and I'm a living example of that, you see. Education, where either truth or lies about God and his creation are taught, and Rosemary here, she's in those schools, and what she's doing, she's proclaiming God's word against the atheistic spirit that wants to dominate that educational mountain, you see. And she probably needs other people to help her, you know, and it's a great thing to be, for her to go in there and actually teach the kingdom of God, government where evil is either restrained or endorsed. And one of my great friends felt on his heart to start a new political party, Family First, as some of you have known about that. And so we now have two members in the upper house, and most of political work is nuts and bolts stuff. But when it comes about family and marriage and children and so on, they're there to put a break and put a stop and put a stop there on certain legislation that is anti-family and anti-biblical. Business, where people build for the glory of God or for the glory of man. Arts and entertainment, where values and virtues are either celebrated or distorted. Media, where events, news and information are interpreted and passed on to people through the lens of good or evil. And if there are Christians in those areas, they can then bring another perspective. And religion, where people worship God in spirit and truth like we've done today, and it's very, very beautiful, or just settle for bells and smells and religious rituals, you know. Arts and entertainment. I was over in America at a church planting thing, and we went up to California or somewhere, a big Baptist church somewhere or other where we were, I forget now. And I talked to the sound guy, and I said, have you guys ever heard of Hillside? Hillsong? Oh, yeah. We just sweat on getting their DVDs. We play them all the time. And here's that church in Sydney sending their music all over the world. They've gone to the very top of the media and says, the devil with Kiss, you know, kids in Satan's service, we, instead of them being up there, Hillsong's up there at the top, you know, because they believe, why can't we make an impact upon our mountain, glory to God. And all over the world now, people are relating to that. After this manner, this is a daily prayer. Therefore, after this manner, pray ye. Our Father which is in heaven, Jesus taught, hallowed be thy name. Then what's the dark stuff say? Could you read it? Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Let's read it again. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. So Jesus is saying, I want you to pray that the kingdom of God, okay, of which you are part, will come on earth. Now, the kingdom of God is where God's will is done on earth, the same, okay, as it is in heaven. And so the kingdom of God, okay, is something that you can bring where you are, regardless of what you think. Now, that's exactly the way it is. The kingdom of God in heavens stretches down to earth. God wants to rule earth from heaven. And he rules it through the Holy Spirit living in you and living in me. But there is the prince of the power of the air that is also out to influence those mountains that you're on. And so you're not on your own there, because That power and that influence is already affecting business, government, and all of those different mountains there. But God has placed you on to bring a totally different worldview. And as you use your influence and you are filled with the Holy Ghost and you move in power and God gives you an anointing upon your life and you start to move in the gifts of the Holy Ghost and God starts to lay upon your heart, pray for that person, and you pray and God heals that person, that's a whole change in that atmosphere. And it's not what you've done, it's what the Holy Ghost has done through you, and you've made an impact upon your mountain. Glory to God, because he's placed you there for such a time such as this. So when you're going to work, there's not much difference between coming here. Here, you come to be built up, you become to be encouraged, and you become to, so that when you go out there, back into your onto your mountain, you become strengthened and encouraged, so that when opportunities come up, and sometimes they may not come up for 12 months, and all of a sudden, we had visitors over at our daughter's house the other day, and there was a young woman there, and I'd heard it just a whisper of something or other, and it hadn't registered, and the Holy Spirit said, go and pray for her. And I said, Michelle, I'd like to pray for you, dear. I ran out, Pastor, because she'd been in our church years ago, and so I just felt to pray for her. And she turned around and she said, does he know something? And it doesn't matter what I know. It's what you see. See, when the Spirit of God comes upon you and you just take that step and say, can I take your hand and pray for you? I believe God wants to help you. You see, the Holy Spirit is in you and the gifts of the Spirit are resident in the Holy Spirit. And so therefore you are a literal walking miracle. You are, the favor of God is upon you. Okay, and it may not be money. It may not be those things. And even in the strife at work, God's at work stirring those things up so that people perhaps become more open to him. It's a matter of perspective. But when you realize that you are favored of God and he's placed you there to make an impact in your environment, and the Spirit of God has been given to you, it's so that you have the wherewithal to be able to make a difference. The question is, who will fill these domains? Someone or some group will lead those domains. Implications for us is an opportunity to rebuild. Authority flows through God-given domains. There is authority structures. We need to understand how to turn things around. Then God said, let us make man in our image. This is why we're here. According to our likeness. Archie's a great dog, but he's a dog. He thinks he's human, but he's not, okay? Okay? And so therefore, but God has made us in his likeness, see? And he said, let them have dominion, let them rule over his creation. And the Hebrew mindset is God and his kingdom principles permeate all life on earth. And so therefore that God has made us that we might have dominion at work, that we might have dominion in our family, that we might know God's blessing and provision for all the things that we need. Secondly, how do you do it? The role of a servant, servanthood. How we can change our societies through the power of servanthood. Third, we must have a passion to see Jesus as Lord over all domains of society. I had a situation where things were rather quiet, so I thought I'd go up and do some volunteer work in the local community centre, which I did. And I said, how can I help you? What will help you do your work? Well, she said, I've got all these records that I'm supposed to do and add this up and add that up. And so I got onto Excel for her and I did all this stuff up for her. You know, see, servanthood. I don't know. She hasn't replied or anything. But I've got a door in there now And if things quieten down in another place, you know, I'll go in and serve and let the Lord. Then she said, look, I want you to do 4 motivational talks. And we must have a passion to see Jesus as Lord over all domains. See, it doesn't matter if I'm cleaning the floor. It doesn't matter whether I'm preaching. Do all the glory of God. See, it's not a matter of titles, see. It's not a matter. I get quite embarrassed when people say this, this and this, because I know that Jesus said that the Lord spoke to me, go and do this, and I try and do it. So, you know, how can you take credit for that when the Lord, you know, actually does things through you? And there are the different mind molders. Now, power to influence. I'm coming to a close here. And when he called his 12 disciples to him, he said he gave them power over unclean spirits. And there's a lot of stuff you come up to in work. It's very spiritual. I can tell you, goodness knows where those people and what they've been into. He gave them power over unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all kinds of sickness and all kinds of disease. And in Acts 1:8 it says, and you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witness to me in those 4 areas in Jerusalem. That's right where we are, people just like us. In all Judea, that's people like us in Australia. In Samaria, that's people of a different language in our country. Don't forget, there's power here to relate to people of a different language in this country. And so that power, if God joins you up against with those people, you might not understand one another, okay, but the power of God is there upon you. He's been promised you to be able to communicate with those people somehow. We had a lovely young Chinese lady. She walked into our church a while back and she said, I've only been in Australia for 5 weeks. She said, I've come out here because I just want to see if I can get a better future for my daughter. She ended up, she has a doctorate. She works in a university in China, and yet out here all she has to pack tomatoes. And she came along to the church and she said, do you mind if I sit in? I'm not a Christian. I'd just like to learn a little bit about Australians and about Christianity. So she's been sitting in now for quite a few weeks. She still doesn't take communion. She hasn't come to a place of acceptance. And I asked her, I said, Ping, her name is Ping, do you understand what I'm talking about? And she said, sometimes I do. Sometimes I do. And then we had a Bible study last week. And a young woman came in with her husband and I said to her, what do you do? And she said, I teach in a Christian school. I said, what do you teach? She said, Chinese. Do you teach Chinese to students? And she said, I said, yes, so you speak Chinese. And so here they are, they're talking away in Chinese together after the service, and God makes a way. You shall receive power, glory to God, when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, okay, and you don't know how it's ever going to work out, but he does, and he brings in a lady who teaches Chinese. How glory to God. And now they're chit-chatting away, and she's got no excuse now. She's a lovely person. Your Mountains local school committee, for instance, is certainly going to influence very often whether chaplains are allowed in there. Local council, state gatekeepers, state parliament, you know, if you don't say, maybe you can pray for those politicians, support Christians, decision makers on Your Mountain. Family, impart godly principles by the grace of God. Church, come to be trained and equipped to influence Your Mountain, which is, well, this is this wonderful church is wanting to do. Business, generate income to support the local church and missions. And government, if God wants you on that mountain, he'll make a way. And a chap came to me and he said, would you stand for parliament? And he said, you'll never win. And I said, what do you want me in there for? He said, well, because if you stand for the lower house, your preferences will enable perhaps a Christian young man to get into the upper house, and we'll have influence in parliament in the upper house. I said, that's okay, I'll stand. and I was able to get enough votes to pay, so they didn't have to pay. Family First didn't have to pay. But you see, God made a way for that. All I did was hand out a lot of pamphlets, put up a lot of stuff, and did all that sort of stuff. And my son Mark, Phil's brother, said, "Dad, you're the only politician I've ever heard of who never made a speech." You know, so you know, what? How come? But it just came right out of the blue, you see. You can make a difference. It's crucial to discern the mountains upon which we live and work. Only then can we develop a strategy to take those mountains. You may be a stay-at-home mother who's also a school helper and part of a local church. So here we have three mountains for you: the family mountain, the education mountain, the religious mountain. What are we going to do? Well, we pray for them. We develop relationships with them. We live a kingdom life amongst them, and this includes sharing a non-religious gospel. We have a handicapped lady in a wheelchair over the road, and Eleanor goes over each week and takes her bins in. We looked out one day, and here's this poor lady. She's laying on the ground because she was trying to push her wheelie bin in while she was still in a wheelchair. And the thing flipped over, and poor lady, she fell out onto the... And I went over to lift her up, and she said to me, "You'll never lift me up." And she wasn't that big, but because she's paralyzed in her leg, she had no power in her legs to help, you see. And it was just like a dead weight. And it took two or three of us to get her back into a wheelchair. And I haven't talked to her yet about Jesus, but I've taken her a few tomatoes that I grew. And, you know, and I tried to save a dog when it got out the other day, you know. And so, yeah, so... Yeah, Harry's the thing's name, and non-religious gospel, but they know me. They see us go off to church on Sunday. Seven mountains are in all societies, some repressed, some larger than others. If you climbed a mountain in Australia, now listen to this, guys, listen to this. If you climbed a mountain in Australia, you can have influence on the same mountain in Asia. Listen to this. A lady president in a large US firm dealing in millions went on a missions trip to North Vietnam. I heard her speak. And while she was there, she commenced small loans to farmers, $100 or whatever they were, microfinance. Same mountain, different country. And what she learnt in America, and what she was an absolute president of this great big multi-million dollar thing, and yet she had a love for Jesus. And so when she got over there, she was able to use the same abilities. And I remember somewhere I preached something like this, and I challenged the farmers. I said, "You guys are top farmers. Maybe there's something for you over there that you could go over and start to share some of the things that you have." In fact, the Bible school that I went to over in the States, or church planting school, they said that the church is the missionary. The church is the missionary. That's what they believed. And so the whole church goes over, and God leads them into a place overseas where they can be used. And the nurses and the teachers and the various people within the church have become involved bringing the love of Jesus into that particular situation, see. It's another mountain. They've already climbed the mountain here, so over there it's a piece of cake. And so rather than only send missionaries, maybe we should be thinking, "Hey, maybe I could go, and there's something I could do. Maybe, yeah." Does that make sense? It's a little bit different, isn't it? So the challenge is, don't hunker in your bunker. Some Christians are like that, you know. They're peering out through that little black slit there and that thing there, and they, "Oh, yes, it's getting worse and worse and worse, you know, and everything, oh, Jesus is going to come back, you know. Ooh, let's get food in and let's get everything in, and, you know, let's let the earth go." And there are others, glory to God. They say we're here for a purpose. God has anointed us with a precious Holy Spirit. He wants us to make a difference, glory to God. And he's placed me on this mountain where I am, hallelujah. And when night time's finished, you'll put me onto another mountain, hallelujah. You don't have to be worried about all those things, pushing and shoving and scheming and all that sort of stuff. You say, Lord, I'm on this mountain. What do you want us to do on this mountain? They're having no end of strife on this mountain. Well, that's what you're there for. You can make a difference. You can make a difference. One of my daughters is involved in a big company, and they had a major shift. Some of the staff moved out, and there's all sort of confusion. New guy came in, and all these younger ladies, and they're all worried, what's going to happen? Are we going to lose our jobs? And all. And so she went to the manager and said, look, would it be possible for you to at least call a little meeting? And maybe you could just explain exactly what's happening. I thought they all knew, he said. Well, how would they know? And so he called a meeting, took them all out for tea and stood up there and told them that things are looking so good and their jobs are secured and everybody in the whole place is happy and the whole place is starting to buzz again, you know, because someone didn't say, oh, well, it's not my job. Someone said, well, how can I use that pastoral ability? How can I? She didn't even think of it. She just does it. See, that's the way you are. You can make a difference. Glory to God. You've got no idea. You can make a difference. Because if you're filled with the Spirit of God and you have the favor of God upon you, even when you walk into work, you mightn't think, well, I don't think that happens when I walk into work, but I tell you what, you just don't know the effect you have on others.
That's right.
Because when you walk in, you bring Jesus there. Because Jesus dwells within your heart and within your life. And God wants us to make a difference. And the church wants you to make a difference. We want you to be strengthened and blessed and built up. Do we hunker in the bunker? Jesus is coming. Things may get difficult. But if we stay off our mountain, the enemy will control the mindset of people. The Holy Spirit has been poured out to empower us to witness and to influence our mountain with signs and wonders. Well, I don't feel like praying for someone. It doesn't matter what you feel like. If you feel strongly that the Holy Spirit wants you to pray for someone, you don't have to make a big deal. Thus, hey, can I take you in a minute? I just feel God wants to bless you. God wants to bless you. No big deal. Just pray in Jesus' name. God bless you. Then they turn around and come back and say, hey, do you know what you did the other day? I don't know what happened to me, but I was walking out of a party once, and the Holy Spirit said, pray for that woman. And anyway, they're all drinking and they're having a few beers and stuff around me, and I thought, well, it's hardly appropriate to get up in the middle of this and go and ask them to put their beer and wine down and pray for them, so I didn't know what to do. And so I decided to just hang on. And so what happens? And so I'm walking out. And I still hadn't prayed for this lady. And pray for this lady, you see. And so she's leaning up against the wall, right? She's trying to, so that I could get through. And I said to her, I'd like to pray for you. Oh, would you? She said. And I said, yes. And I prayed for her. And she started to slide down the wall. And then I didn't know what to do. I said, are you all right? Oh, yes, 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 I'm all right, you know. And then she went in and sobbed her heart out in the bedroom. And within about a month or so, her marriage had got reconciled back together again. Her family was together. They're still together. Glory to God, you know. And all the Lord said, just go and lay hands on that lady. Wonderful, isn't it, eh? Didn't cost anything, really. But it was the right time, right place. I happen to be there. I'm not where you are. Hallelujah. Bless God. Lord, we need a fresh anointing to make a difference so that we can say wherever you are and whatever your mountain, and don't forget you've got two or three in your life, Lord, give us this mountain. God, while I'm here, I want to make a difference. Why don't we stand? Eh? We're going to bring the little ones in a minute. Is that right, Pastor Phil? Bless God. Sali Allah Basiyande. Amen. I want you to think of your work situation right now. And I want you to bring it through, bring it before God in prayer as we stand. And I'm going to pray for the precious anointing of the Holy Spirit would come afresh upon you, that you might move forward. That you might move forward. And why not bless God forever? Why not? That's right. Bless the Lord. Father, I pray in Jesus' name, as we bring our mountains before you today, and we might be halfway up, we might be the bottom, we might feel that we're insignificant, but that doesn't matter. Oh God, you said that you shall receive power when the Holy Ghost has come upon you, and you shall be a witness unto me. So Lord, I pray right now, come, give each one a fresh anointing, I pray. Pour out your Spirit afresh upon each one today, I pray, in the lovely name of Jesus. Lord, we thank you. Your favor is upon us. Lord, your blessing is upon us, Father, because of Jesus. And Lord, we thank you now, right now. Receive a fresh anointing of the Holy Spirit. Father God, we want to make a difference. We want to make a difference right where you've placed us in the lovely name of Jesus today. Amen. Praise God. You may be seated.
Thanks for listening to this podcast. We trust that you've enjoyed the message. For more podcasts, head to www.compasschurch.com.au.